On May 5th, on the first day of the Battle of the Wilderness, they were engaged pretty much continuously from then until here late in the month as they head toward the North Anna. The losses had been appalling. 36,000 Union casualties to this stage of the campaign. 36,000. 24,000 Confederate casualties to this stage in the campaign. Now, both armies were getting replacements, but these replacements in no way met the same standard for proficiency of the veterans who had been knocked out of the ranks at the Wilderness and at Spotsylvania. So the overall quality of the armies is diminishing as we move into May. Not only are we losing a number of men, but also the ranks of the leaders are being decimated on both sides, including the top echelon of the subordinates in each army. The corps commanders on the Confederate side, we saw in the Wilderness that James Longstreet was wounded grievously in the throat. He was out for the indefinite future. Jeb Stuart killed or mortally wounded at the Battle of Yellow Tavern. Two of Lee's key subordinates thus gone. But it was worse than that because Richard Ewell, the commander of the Second Corps, had failed in Lee's estimation, and Lee would ease him out of the army before the end of May. That left only A.P. Hill, and A.P. Hill also had not been putting in the kind of work that Lee expected from a corps commander. Hill often was ill at crucial moments, and Lee didn't feel that he could really rely on him. So really the whole corps-level echelon of subordinates in the Army of Northern Virginia was dead, wounded, or not performing up to Lee's standard. Richard H. Anderson would replace James Longstreet in command of the First Corps. Jubal Early would take command of the Second Corps. Neither of them had proved himself as a corps commander. On the Union side, there were also grievous losses among division commanders, brigade commanders, and at the corps level, John Sedgwick had been killed on May 9th, as we saw. Beyond that, Gouverneur Warren had proved to be a bitter disappointment to both Meade and Grant, especially in the Battle of Spotsylvania. So he is not a great strength for them to rely on. Winfield Scott Hancock had done well. He's the strongest of the Union Corps commanders. Philip Sheridan had not done well as commander of the cavalry in the early stages of the campaign. In fact, he and Meade had what amounted to a shouting match with each other. Grant had intervened on the side of his friend Sheridan, but there's bad blood between Meade and Sheridan had not demonstrated great skill as the commander of the cavalry corps in the Army of the Potomac. Horatio Wright had been moved up to head the 6th Corps after Sedgwick had been killed. He's a good soldier, but he's not a spectacularly good soldier. So there are tremendous problems of command in both armies that go along with the tremendous attrition in the ranks. While at Spotsylvania, Grant learned that Benjamin Butler had failed in his effort to come against Richmond from the south. He'd learned that Sigel had failed as well in the Shenandoah Valley. What Grant determined to do then was to try to place his army between Lee and Richmond. He would replicate yet again the move he had first used after the Wilderness, that is trying to get around Lee's right flank. That's his intention, to get beyond Lee and perhaps get the closer track toward Richmond. But Lee once again anticipated what Grant was going to do and took up a position behind the North Anna River, not many miles south of the Spotsylvania battlefield. He secured, by taking up that position, the crucial rail junction at Hanover Junction, where the Virginia Central Railroad came in near Richmond, just north of Richmond. This was a vital link that Lee's army had used for logistical support for much of the war. It's one of the most important spots in Virginia, in fact, for much of the war, is Hanover Junction. The Confederate line was in the form of a big inverted V, with the apex resting nearly on the North Anna River, and then the flanks falling back to the southeast and the southwest. Confederates erected very strong entrenchments there. Grant moved up opposite Lee, and over the period between May 23rd and May 25th, managed to place the Army of the Potomac in a very awkward position. He had different parts of the Army of the Potomac south of the river and north of the river. In fact, he had a situation where his right flank, troops from his right flank, in order to reinforce his left, for example, would have to cross the North Anna River, march behind the center of Grant's army, and cross the North Anna River again to support Union troops on Grant's left. That's a terrible position, and one that made both ends of Grant's line vulnerable.